Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Series at Truist Park. It's Tukes and Bell. Abe is in for Mike today, and let's talk to our buddy Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. Grant, this series is going to be intriguing in many ways. Obviously, the Dodgers are the standard. I think they're tied with the Mets for the most wins in the major leagues. But I think, you know, the way the season started, right, with us playing the Dodgers, and then we go 0-7, and we know we're 5-13 at one point. This is like, okay, we've kind of worked our way back now, and we feel a lot better about our team. What are you expecting this weekend between these two teams?
Yeah, I think it should look different. It certainly feels different, doesn't it, than last these two teams met about a month ago, where it seemed like, hey, maybe the Dodgers will never lose a game, and will the Braves ever win a game? But obviously that's why they play 162 of these things. And talking to some of the guys before this one, nobody's trying to put too much pressure on atoning for one particular previous series, but they're definitely focused on winning this series and making the most of this homestand, where the Braves have played fairly well at home. They're 8-3 this year, but they have played the second fewest home games of any team in the major leagues thus far. So this nice little 7-game trip, it's going to be challenging, or the 7-game stay, I should say, will be challenging. But, you know, I think that you've seen the Braves offensively start to come to life. They have been making plays. They have been doing the things that they need to win consistently, with 4 straight series wins coming in. It's all trending in the right direction, but we know what it means when these two teams match up. It just feels a little bit different, and I'm sure that's not lost on the Braves.
Grant, we got our first little update about Spencer Strider today. I know they said he's playing catch, but they didn't provide a timeline. I guess the question I have is he expected, when he is ready to come back, does he go right back into the rotation, or are they looking at a rehab start? Or do you know from that aspect what the plan might be?
No, I don't think they know yet. And, yeah, we did ask about that prior to the game, and there really wasn't any specifics beyond the fact that you can see Spencer Strider is here and he is playing catch. And he does seem to be moving around fine, but there's a big difference in some of the little everyday things and getting back on a mound, going max effort. And, of course, Spencer Strider, you may have noticed, is a lower body kind of guy. So he's, I think, frustrated by this is probably the nice way to put it, but can't rush it. And the Braves are very much in the I think, camp of never trying to rush an injury, especially at this point in the season and for somebody who works so hard to get back. So, unfortunately, there's just not a lot of specifics there. The longer the time goes, though, Abe, if he's gone longer than the 2 weeks or so that he's on this injured list stint, and it starts to just kind of linger past that, I think you almost have to either figure out a simulated game situation where he's going to throw, 65, 75 pitches, I would imagine, in the bullpen, wherever that's home, road, or otherwise. And then I think you almost have to send him out and get at least one more start, because he had finally ramped himself back up between the spring outings and the 3 that he had in the minor leagues, and then, of course, that first one in Toronto, where it looked like, hey, he's right around 100 pitches. That's where you need him to be. And that's not going to happen overnight, I don't think, after sitting around for 3 weeks.
Grant, as we talk about Braves-Dodgers, and make sure you check your local listings as far as how to watch this series. It's going to kind of be all over the place this weekend. Let's talk about the lineup and how you approach this, because Yamamoto, I think we're seeing both him and Suzuki. Is that right this weekend? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, Sasaki will pitch the 2nd game, I believe.
Yes, Sasaki, excuse me. And I think Yamamoto's been a guy that's given you at least, 5-plus innings in every outing so far this season?
Yeah, and he's looked great this year. He's among the better pitchers in all of baseball. So this is exactly what the Dodgers signed up for when they gave him that huge contract a year ago. I think he showed it at times last year, but it seems like he's really built on that this season. So you can plan on it being pretty tough just based on his arsenal and the fact he gets a lot of swing and miss. You just want to try to keep this game manageable. I think that's the number one job, obviously, for Grant Holmes, who we can probably get into later, starting once again against the Dodgers, the team that drafted him some 10 years ago. And here he is facing them, his old team, I guess the team he never really got to play for in the big leagues, but his first club anyway. That's got to be kind of special, even though Dodger Stadium had to be a pretty special outing for him prior to this. But long story short, I think that it's going to be, if you line it up and look at the starting pitching matchups, the Dodgers may seem more favorable on paper. Braves obviously used Chris Sale in that finale against the Colorado Rockies, so you don't have that bullet to fire. But they've got Spencer Schwellenbach in the second game, and we'll see in game three if Bryce Elder can build off of what we've seen the last couple of starts.
A couple of guys I want to ask you about that maybe we thought would be in a platoon situation. It feels like they're just now everyday starters, Eli White and Nick Allen. Is that the case? Are we still platooning those guys? Or are they just locked in right now for the most part?
I mean, I don't think there's anything resembling a platoon at shortstop right now. I think Allen has started all but one of the last, 2 weeks' worth of games. Meanwhile, Eli White has started in 7 straight games. And Brian Snitker talked a little bit about that prior to the game as well and his availability and was like, okay, well, has Eli just kind of shown you that this is the role? And he said, well, he's playing great right now, and we're going to give him this opportunity and see what happens. You know, it's as we're all well aware, the season is very long, and there are highs and there are lows. But I think you kind of owe it to yourself if you're the Braves and you were looking for a spark or looking for answers or just trying to find some consistency, for crying out loud, in a couple of spots. You're getting it with those two guys, and they may not have been on the manifest, if you will, in spring training as the expected starters at a couple of spots. But I think the Braves are pretty fortunate and pretty happy that they have. And I think Allen's been extremely impressive with the way that he plays shortstop, with the way that he approaches the game in general. It's just kind of refreshing to have those kind of tough, scrappy players that you can just throw out there in the lineup. And I think that's good energy for the club, and that stuff matters too.
Concern about Ozzy or not at all?
Not really. I mean, again, the highs, the lows of a long season. I know if you live on social media, which unfortunately I do rent a place, it's kind of tough sometimes to see some of the feedback of, oh, well, Ozzy as a switch hitter is a failed experiment. You go look up his numbers and tell me that's a failure, because I know 29 other teams that would sign up to have that quote-unquote problem at second base for the last 7 or 8 years. He has certainly been going through it, but I think with Ozzy, who is still pretty young, I know that the arm is obviously not there. That's something that's probably not going to change, but he's still a decent second baseman range-wise. He's just going to have to find ways, I think, to compensate for that. But if he's hitting, I don't know that anybody really cares about all that stuff. So you just got to find some consistency. He's always been kind of a go-down-and-get-it golf-type swing, but his launch angle this year has been, I think, the lowest, the worst that it's been in the last 3 seasons. And that's leading to a lot more pop-ups, a lot more unproductive outs. And then, of course, you've got the penchant for swinging early in counts and not really working at bats. And I don't know if the Leopard's going to change his spots there either, but he is who he is. And when he gets going, he can make you forget about times like this. I think for him, for Braves, and probably for Braves fans, they just like that get-going part to happen sooner than later.
I know we talked about this series and not putting too much pressure on you and trying to get some get back from what happened in Los Angeles. But at some level, are we viewing this series as a landscape of how much has truly changed since that 0-7 start?
No, I think that, I mean, if it all goes wrong, then yeah, it'll be fair to question, okay, well, what in the world has happened here? Did the Braves really figure it out, or are they going to be able to challenge a club like this? But I think that, you know, the Dodgers are a team that has been extremely good at home, where they're 15-3. They're 6-7 on the road. They've had their own problems, but you know these games are going to be competitive. And obviously the first meeting between these two teams is going to leave a bad taste in your mouth if you're the Braves. And, you know, Michael Harris said, look, we know we got swept out there, but we can't just think about that. We got to go out there and have the same approach we've had the last 4 series, all of which they've won, and come out and try to, you know, get that series win here. You might lose a game. They're the Dodgers. They're pretty good. They've got a nice club, and clearly they've got their eyes on October, as do the Braves. But I don't think you can really put too much on any one series over the course of the regular season. This is a long marathon of games. Some of them are going to go your way. Some of them aren't. But I think that the Braves have done a pretty good job over the last few years, as cliched as it is and as tiresome as it might be to hear from some, of just not getting too high or too low over the course of the year, and I think that serves them well.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about that, but everybody thought the Dodgers were going to run away with this. It was cheating and, you know, oh, they spent like nobody else. It's okay, right? I mean, they haven't done any of those things. I don't think, Grant, they're going to win 150 games, right? I mean, at the end of the day, yes, they're a very good club, but all that stuff that everybody was screaming before the season, you know, we can relax a little bit.
No, I mean, you still got to go out there and play the games. And I know this is an old thing from when I started my first year on the Braves, you know, beat, if you want to call it that, or at least being around the club, was 2005. And Bobby Cox was the manager then, and I remember him saying a couple of things. Win two out of three, you're going to be in a pretty good spot if you do that all year long. Secondly, which is basically the same math, you're going to win 54, you're going to lose 54. It's what happens in the other 54 that's going to tell the tale of your season. The Dodgers fall in that boat as well. There's a very good chance they could win that other 54. They are that good. We've seen it. We know what they have, and they're not even at full strength right now, so that should be kind of scary as well. But even looking at the National League West, they've been in a timeshare for first place with the San Diego Padres and the San Francisco Giants of all teams. So they're not even really running away with their own division, even when they have been able to climb up to the top. So you play all these games for a reason. We'll see how it all plays out ultimately, but you expect the Dodgers to be one of those teams that's there standing when the smoke settles and dust clears at the end of this regular season, trying to do something special. The Braves just want to make sure they punch their ticket to do the exact same thing.
It's going to be a fun weekend. Grant, when are you on this weekend, by the way?
I will be on Sunday at 5 p.m. We'll be going over, obviously, a very big weekend series here. We'll take a look around all the rest of baseball. And if you want to subscribe, you can find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcast and, of course, on the Odyssey app.
Awesome. Thanks so much. We will talk soon. Enjoy the series, brother.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, that's Grant McCauley. Coming up, guys, we'll get you caught up on the latest of what's been going on in the world of sports. One of the all-time greats is done. We'll tell you about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Not in the game.